I'm reading Jeremiah 46, verse 8. Egypt riseth up like a flood, and his waters are moved like the rivers. And he saith, I will go up and cover the earth. I will destroy the city and the inhabitants thereof. Now remember, a couple or three studies ago, we looked at Ezekiel 29. Go back to Ezekiel 29. There we read in Ezekiel 29, where Egypt, and remember, that's the world, that's what we all came out of before we became a part of the kingdom of God, either externally or eternally. We read about Egypt in verse 3. Speak and say, thus saith the Lord Jehovah, behold, I am against thee, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great dragon that lieth in the midst of his rivers, which hath said, my river is mine own, and I have made it for myself. In other words, the picture of the churches that have said, this is our gospel. We designed it the way we want to design it. We tie into the Bible, of course, to give it authority or to give it a look of authority, but it's our gospel, and that's why today they will not turn to what we're teaching at all from the Bible. They will not look at the Bible. And my river, the river is the is a figure that God uses of the gospel. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water, remember? But they're saying, it is mine own, and I made it for myself. I know what I want. And that is the idea in verse 8 of Jeremiah 46. Egypt riseth up like a flood. His waters are moved like the rivers. And he saith, I will go up and will cover the earth. I will destroy the city and the inhabitants thereof. This is putting it very, very directly, very brusquely. I will destroy the city and the inhabitants, but that's exactly what the church has done. It is, the city is the city of God. The city is the Jerusalem that represents the kingdom of God, and is all the churches. And they are effectively destroyed because they are not bringing praise and glory to God. They're paying lip service to that, but they really are not doing it in actuality. So the churches have set up their own kind of a gospel, their own kind of do-it-yourself salvation plan. They look at the Bible the way they want to look at it, and every church has a different plan, but it is the fact that it is their gospel. It is their gospel. It is not the gospel of the Bible. And so the Bible goes on in verse 9, come up, ye horses, and rage, ye chariots. Let the mighty men come forth, the Ethiopians and the Libyans that handle the shield, and the Lydians that handle and bend the bow. These are all related nations to Egypt. For this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries. Now see you here again. This is the day of the Lord of hosts. That's the language of judgment day. This is the day. And actually, God still is going to talk about Babylon taking over from Egypt. And this is because they're all intertwined, finally. They're intertwined, and they finally end up with that confrontation at the day of, by the river Euphrates, which identifies with the day of judgment, when the rapture, when those who are the true believers are bringing condemnation on the unsaved because they have been faithful in following the Bible. So it goes on in verse 10, for this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries. And the sword shall devour, and it shall be satiated and made drunk with their blood. For the Lord God, the Lord Jehovah of hosts, hath a sacrifice in the north country. by the river Euphrates. It's almost like we could say that everything that has happened preliminarily, beginning with the beginning of the church age, particularly as we see the warnings in Revelation 2 and 3 particularly, that and as we see the wickedness in the Galatian churches, you know, you have a how come you're following another gospel than the true gospel? And all of this is pointing finally to Judgment Day, when it all becomes wrapped up at Judgment Day. But it's something that we should have known about. There are warnings in the Bible again and again and again. If you don't remain faithful, I will bring judgment upon you. It isn't like it, like the church is going along and everything is hunky-dory, to use a phrase. Everything is nice and wonderful, as many churches think it is. And then suddenly there's judgment. Well, that's the way it is because they're not listening to the Bible. But if we listen to the Bible, God has been warning and warning and warning and warning and warning and warning. God did that with ancient Israel. During the days of the judges, God would send a judge to free them from the oppression of the Philistines or the Ammonites or whoever it was, and then right around they would begin to go their own way again, and God would allow them to come under great oppression and great difficulties. Then he would send another judge. The patience of God. We are constantly seeing the patience of God. And this is the way it is all the way to the end. It's God has allowed the churches to go, and then he sends some kind of a warning upon them, a judgment of some kind, a punishment of some kind, but then they go right back to where they were following. And of course we know that beginning in 1988, they came under the direct rule of Satan. And so we read in verse 11, "Go up unto Gilead, and take balm, O virgin, the daughter of Egypt. In vain shalt thou use many medicines, for thou shalt not be cured." Now that's a very pessimistic statement. Is there no balm in Gilead, we read in earlier in Jeremiah? Is there the same kind of an idea? The Gilead was a country that was known for its many medicinal herbs that they used in those days, and if they were going to seek for medicine, it would have to come from Gilead, is the way we can understand that. But now God is saying there is no cure. There is no cure. You're constantly rebelling, no matter what. And as long as you rebel, there's no cure. You're going to go through this again and again and again. These judgments. Then he goes on. "The nations have heard of thy shame, and thy cry hath filled the land. For the mighty man hath stumbled against the mighty, and they are fallen both together." The word that the Lord, that